Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and on the other side of the mic, which that is a horrible, horrible saying, on the other side of the mic is...
On the other side of town.
There you go. What's the other side of the mic? Like, you're sitting here like we're talking to each other face-to-face. Anyway, it's Doug.
And it's a 360-degree mic, so
right, but
being
like,
on the other side works.
I just got this imagery of us just sitting there, like, nose-to-nose, like when people argue with umpires. You know, that would literally be the other side of the mic, and I realized that's a dumb...
Tossing you out of the show.
I actually saw the one baseball game I watched this year. I don't even know who it was with. And I actually saw the umpire do the "you're out of here" thing, and the whole thing seems so comical. I'm watching it the whole time going, this is like professional wrestling. Like, everybody's just going, uh-oh, he's going to toss him out, he's going to toss him out. And then the guy does the overblown, "you're out of here." And then, you know, they're arguing. It just seems really fake. I don't know. I'm sure it's not. But, you know. That's, hey,
but people don't get tossed that often.
I don't watch it that often, so that's, to me, it was like the one time I watch it, someone gets tossed out of the game, you know?
Yeah.
So
this is so we save some of our not show notes, but articles in Digo.
Yeah.
And I just clicked on it from my email. And then it like opens up in this stupid Digo. Well, it says, quote, the Digo meta page.
Oh.
And I just want to go, oh, here we go. Okay.
So it's opening up.
They have the actual link, like, really sort of not visible. And I was not happy about that.
So
but I found it. So
is
I'm
it
happy.
Like Evernote where you can clip part of the page and, like, when you go to look at it, that's the part it takes you to first, and then you click on that then to go to the bookmark?
No.
Okay.
It's I don't know if it's actually an iframe, but it's kind of like an iframe, and it's just irritating looking.
When you say the Digo meta page, does that mean it's like the hipster page? Isn't that the thing, meta?
I don't know.
I thought that was the thing, like the memes that everybody does with the horn-rimmed glasses. Aren't those like you're being meta?
I think meta is when it's like something about something. Like if you have a shirt with shirts on it, or that's what meta is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that.
I've only seen it used
in
terminology.
I guess there's metaphysical. You could be meta something, yes, but I don't know. What are they doing? Are they like meta hipsters? I don't know. I'm not suggesting that hipsters don't use the word meta, because maybe they do. I'm not up on the hipster lingo.
I'm not either. I've only really known one.
There's this guy at work, and he is like...
That's the only way that I know one, too, because I would never openly hang out with
one. Oh, okay, so I'm on Urban Dictionary,
yeah.
There is a listing for meta hipster. I just Googled it. I should look it up on Wikipedia, too. No, I'm not.
I'm sure Urban Dictionary one is way more amusing.
Yeah, so here's the number one listing. A subgenre of hipster that constantly satirizes stereotypical hipster behavior, completely incomprehensible to normal people, irritating and awkward to normal hipsters, can be genuine trolls or both. And then another hipster, the number two definition, hipsters too hipster hipsters too hipster to actually be hipsters themselves.
So that's the shirt on a shirt thing that you were talking about.
What?
That's like the shirt on the shirt thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, they're like too hip to be hip.
Right.
But I think that how could you live your life as a troll? Like the first one said, you can be genuine trolls or both. Like your whole like persona is trolling hipsters.
Yeah.
That's dedication right there.
That is dedication. Although I did see a funny thing on the Brooklyn Vegan blog, the MP3 blog. He did a thing. There was some music fest going on there. I don't even know what it was. But he was walking around and basically interviewing hipsters in Brooklyn, which apparently they're everywhere. Because here in Wisconsin,
you don't get
that many of them. But there, it was like you couldn't throw a shoe without hitting one. And, you know, you'd probably want to. But the best part was he was openly mocking them but still interviewing them. And, you know, it was one of those type of interviews, like man on the street sort of thing. And he walked up to this group of three of them, and he's like, normally when I talk to people on the street, I go, what do you do for a living? But I'm pretty sure you're all going to answer graphic designer. And I thought that was so perfect. So anyway,
so on that note, I think it was Richard Fontana of Identica and also GPL fame. But he asked Bradley Kuhn of FSF and Identica fame, whether or not there were any Ruby programmers that didn't use Max as their primary development machine. And I just thought that was hilarious. He was not like trolling. Like, that was like a legitimate question. It was like, I don't know if these people exist.
Right.
I just thought it was pretty funny.
I only use it because I like coding in SAS. So that's,
so you do use Ruby?
I do, but I don't use it for anything other than personally.
Well, I mean, I think that we can answer that question then.
But it's just the engine. I don't actually program in Ruby. Like, if I had to write something in Ruby, okay. It's the engine for SAS. It was built on Ruby, and then I have to install it to run SAS to export the... It's the engine that exports what I'm writing to a CSS sheet.
Well, if we've got any Ruby developers that are listening that are also Linux or Windows users, let us know.
But everybody loves the GitHub. I'll tell you that much. I know that that's, although everything I've ever done still uses SVN. But
why? What does that have to do with Ruby?
Because that's like the thing that everybody uses with Ruby. I don't know what it is, but like GitHub, like basically, if you do Ruby programming, you also use Git repositories instead of SVN repositories.
I think just everything on the web is Git. But we are talking about some tools. So do you have an actual tool of the week this week?
I kind of do. I was actually listening to the Musicians DIY podcast and what was it? The Music Marketing, Michael Brandvolt or whatever his name is, podcast. And they were talking about like apps that they like. And I tried out a couple of them. So I'll mention those last, just in kind of passing. But the one I really wanted to talk about was, because as far as photo sharing, and I know you don't do a lot of photo sharing, but for like bands and stuff like that.
I got photos of on the Flickers.
No, I know what you do. But I mean, you're not like constantly sharing photos like, you know, photographers do and other things like that. Whereas bands, they should be posting a lot of photos. And I'm trying to get more into that kind of junk. But... you know, I mean, you can only take so many photos of you being in the same place. We're not actually very active. So, some of the things I've been messing around with is, you know, there's Instagram, which is okay. I like Instagram. I started using it when it first came out personally. And then, I'm talking about these as using them as a band and the communities are being built around it. Well, the other one that I discovered, which, cause I always like to look at the opposition first. Like if I see something's coming out and then somebody else is releasing something, I'm like, oh, I'll check them both. And one of the other ones was an app called, all of a sudden I'm not finding it, and I'm blanking on the name. Oh, Pick Please, which is actually PICPLZ. Now, it was started by the dude that originally ran Memo, or iMeme. Which one is the one that MySpace bought? Do you remember?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they bought it it was basically kind of like a music sharing site. Like, it was kind of like... you know, your Spotify or whatever, you basically could listen to anything on there and share it with friends, and you could just listen to it as a radio. And it had a social aspect to it. Well, they got bought out by MySpace, and then, you know, they closed it down, and then the guy went off and started saying, you know, social these days is going to be with photo apps. So Instagram had just come out, and he created one called Pick Please. And then... you know, I was like, okay, whatever, I'll check it out. And I checked it out, and it was okay. Neither one of them had an API yet. So all you could really do is, and I, you know, at first I had a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that, like, there's no active web page for either of these at the time. Like, you posted it, you'd get it posted to a page that was labeled with them and had your picture. Plus, you know, you get the fancy little filters to make the pictures look cool. So even something really dumb you can make look kind of artsy. But, you know, it would post there, so... they didn't have sharing capabilities. Like, if you shared it to Facebook, it was a link on Facebook that would take you to the Instagram page. Well, then PicPleaser came along, and they went one farther, and they actually gave you a public page. So you could actually, like, if you were banned, it would show all of your pictures, whereas on Instagram, didn't really have that. Well, then both of them released APIs, and PicPleaser's actually came out a little bit earlier, like, I think hours earlier, and that was the huge debate. And everybody was like, which one's going to win? Well, you know, the thing is that obviously, I mean, you've probably seen Instagram is around a lot more in different areas. I mean, you probably see more people posting with that.
I mean, as far as picture sharing.
Well, that's Flickr. The thing. Is there? Well, no, Flickr is still a good one, but I mean, I don't. You know, and that's the thing. Is PicPleaser? PicPleaser actually shares to when you do a picture, it will post it to Flickr, it will post it to Facebook. You can post it to, and what it does also is it saves it to your Dropbox. That's the one thing it had above Instagram. So like later on, you don't have to go, oh, where's my, you know, where's this photo, or oh, I have to go to each page to find it. You don't have to. You can download it directly to your Dropbox, and it saves the original and the one with the filter at the same time. So I think that's a huge benefit. So I was like, okay, for me, PicPlease wins. And then I started using it, but then I realized the entire community went to Instagram, which sucked. But I was like, okay, but I like using it. And the other reason was is because PicPlease uses Creative Commons licensing. So you can actually set your license much like how you do in Flickr and everything else. So that way, if people try to use it, they know if they can or can't use it and all that. So that was pretty much like, okay, I'm going to stay with this. So that's my tool for the most part is that. But that was the one I was going to share. Then yesterday, day before yesterday, Friday, it was announced that I think the guys that built it, the iMeme guys, they're like, you know what? Instagram won. We're jumping ship, and they sold it to a online trivia company. And now I'm really worried about what it's going to be like because I looked at the online company that's buying it, and I'm like, I don't like it. I'm afraid. They claim they're not going to do anything. They're going to keep building on it, and they're going to have respect for it in the blog post that's on the PicPlease blog. So I don't know. I'm going to wait it out, but otherwise I might move over to Instagram. But either way, I would say both of those for sharing pictures with fans and stuff, because it posts to Twitter as well. It's just, if you go on there, there's a huge community for picture shares, and it's just another way to meet people and, you know, more artistic side of people and communicating with the fans. And that way you can take just a single picture of interesting things or just basic things, put a filter on them, and share them with people. So that would be my recommendation, is bands should start using those. So there you go. That's my tool. My long drawn out, like, because that's the thing, is it was drawn out because I'm actually going through a decision phase right now, like which one I'm going to use. So I recommend both for now, and you choose the one you like, as I try to. Cool. All right, what do you got going on? I see.
We should do the music shows at some point. I wanted to talk about the Jamendo Awards, which we have discussed before, but they came out with the winners, and I wasn't real pleased with any of them. Amity and Fame, who we're going to interview, and whose stuff I like, but they've only released one album on Jamendo, so that seems like kind of a lame winner.
Yeah, I saw you had even posted that thought.
They won in the experimental and in the rock category, which, I mean, there's thousands of artists on Jamendo. I don't really think that just because they have a large fan base and they could type their favorite band into any category they wanted, that they should be allowed to win two. I guess in theory, one artist could have won all of these. I mean, I don't know if they went through and said, hey, this band is not that genre, so I'm not going to allow them. I mean, like, you know, like if Lorenzo's Music had won in the instrumental category,
right?
Like, would they have said, no, sorry, this is not an instrumental band? Or I don't know. Like I said, I like Amity and Fame.
Right. I do. I recognize the name, too. I think you've actually played them before. Either you have or I have.
Maybe. I think Craig may have played them.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Also, I know he likes them.
Well, I'd like to say, too, that we found out soon after we did the Professor Click interview 2 weeks ago, which got posted a week after, that he made the top five in his category.
Okay, so I never saw the top five thing. That's what I was going to
really
say. Yeah, because they made a listing about it on the site, but then I never saw any sort of data about it. So they must have posted that. So I see the congratulations to the winners. I mean, where do you go to see the more information?
I don't know.
Did you get that on an email?
No. You mean about him being in the top five?
Yeah.
No, he posted a video about it the day after we interviewed him and asked people to go vote for him. So that was the only way I knew, is because it was on his Google Plus stream.
So there was actually voting during the top, you know, because that's what they said they were going to do. And then I never saw anywhere where I could vote.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't really see that either. And even truthfully, the contest itself, the only time I saw it was when that pop-up when you visited the site would show up. Otherwise, I had no clue.
They sent out a couple emails about the show happening, you know, to start with.
Right.
Or not the show,
the contest.
The award.
Or the awards, yeah.
Yeah, so during the nomination, like on July 8th, it said last chance to nominate for the Jimendo Awards.
Yeah, I remember
and then
seeing that.
They never gave, they never sent another email to say, you know, this is, and I've gotten, you know, a new terms of service email from Jimendo, and I've gotten two notices from Jimendo about public, or not about public, about private messages. So, I'm still getting emails from them.
I haven't even gotten those ones you're talking about.
They sent an email about it.
Yeah, but I didn't get one either on that. So basically, you do think that for this year, the awards show there is some improvement they need to do on the voting.
Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah. I did like the fact that they would only let you couldn't sit there and just redo the voting if you wanted to vote for someone. It was like, you voted once today, that's it, get out of here. I did think that was good that they had that. But otherwise, I think it would be interesting if they didn't allow multiple voting, although I guess how would you stop such a thing?
They have to like make their multiple accounts or something like that.
Right. But so. But I mean, I think that would be more fair, first of all. Instead of the same people coming back every day, it's like, great, you've got a fan that comes back every day or several fans that come back every day and do it. That's cool. But, you know, I think it kind of, you know, makes it lean in one direction a little bit more unfairly rather than, you know what, everybody gets one chance to vote. Thank you for doing it. It's, you know, it'll still count in the end, but I think it'll be a more realistic battle rather than, you know, some people that can just visit the site every single day and vote for you every time, you know.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, they're probably doing that to drive site traffic, but maybe once a week.
That's a good point. Yeah. If they are doing it to drive site traffic, that's actually pretty smart of them. To tell you the truth, I think that's a good idea, because then you have people promoting their site for free and going, remember to go back and vote every day, and basically telling them to go to Jimendo every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could get that. That's, you know what? I'll give them that, because that's a pretty damn smart idea. So that's
Touché.
Okay.
You win this time, Jimendo.
Yes. Bastard, you bastard. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Oh, I was just saying, So they have, he's actually on the blog.jimendo.com. It says Professor Click's top five tips for artist exposure. When was this? Oh, this was back in 2010. I didn't even know this existed. Do you know about this?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
The what? Say it again?
Hold on.
The top 10. Oh, don't send the link. I don't want my browser to freeze up again.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. Well, it says, I'll just read the opening paragraph. This month, electronic artist Professor Click shares with you his best tips for increasing exposure on Jimendo. Professor Click is a top-selling artist on Jimendo Pro and has seen his fan base grow dramatically in the 3 years since he joined Jimendo.
Oh, I have read that.
I haven't read it.
Okay, I do remember seeing that. Now that you're saying that, it's on their blog, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just
searched Jimendo top five for the hopes of... So here's the thing. Where Jimendo retweeted Professor Click, made it on the top five of the Jimendo Awards. But where the hell are the top five?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
Okay. Funny. Jimendo's top rock top five of the week. And I don't want of the top. There's another. Maybe he didn't actually make the top five. Maybe he just posted this because everything that I see that talks about top five is.
No, he posted it on YouTube. It was a video that he posted on his YouTube channel.
No, but I'm saying maybe he just made it up.
Oh, that's true. That's why not, you know? You know what we did one time? I'm going to tell you, this is a super funny story. We played a show in Chicago, like, I don't know, a while ago. And while we were on stage, one of the guys joked because, like, the Rolling Stone, back when people still read Rolling Stone, the Rolling Stone, 100 best of this and that type, whatever, you know, one of those things where they're like, oh, the best of this category. And it's like everything's just so customized that they obviously just did it specifically to name out those bands, that sort of thing. Like, you know, the best hair or the best, you know, pseudo harmonic vocal singing, you know, dumb stuff like that. And it was just like a whole thing of fluff. Well, while we were on stage, one of the guys I was with said, hey, thanks, we're Lorenzo's Music, and we were just, you know, in Rolling Stone, voted the America's best-looking band, or best-looking up-and-coming band. He was joking, like, he just strung a bunch of stuff together as the best this and that, because we were talking about it. And, like, several people came up to us and were like, hey, that's really cool about you being in Rolling Stone magazine. It was like, we just said it, you know, and so we played along. We were like, oh, yeah, no, they came by, they took a bunch of photos, it was, and we were just totally bullshitting. So if he did do that, haha, because I love it. That's what's great. It's like you're totally joking, and then people buy into it, and it's like, oh, kick ass. Let's ride this wave. So if he did do that, that's pretty impressive, and I got to give him credit for that one too. I'm giving people credit for everything today. That is,
you
if
are
they
a credit machine.
Well, that is, it's if they are actually doing it. If not, then shame on them. Oh man, did you see that after we did post that the Professor Click interview, and he told us that we could link to his dev site because he said it would prompt him to hurry up and finish it because he's been sitting on it for a while. Yep, he finished it. I noticed that right after we posted it. So then I realized after that I didn't put down a note on there that said something like, and here first the exclusive link to his new site. Or site in the making. And then when I thought of it, I was like, oh crap, I should put that on there. I went and checked and he had already updated his site, so we lost it. We could have been the We Were First.
Yeah, I mean, you could still put it on there.
I could, but it would be silly now. Unless it's meant to be silly. In other words, in that case, then kudos to me. I had to get myself in there somehow. Doing that with the kudos thing.
I just clicked on his site because I thought maybe that somewhere it would tell me where I could find these top five.
Then, you're obsessed on his, with like, this.
About on his like, hi, I'm Mike Else page, the like second thing, the second like paragraph is, technically, I suck at music.
Because he's going to school for it, you know. Hey, did you ever make it down? Did you go to Chicago yet and meet up?
No, I was going to, and he is bad at internets, I think, because he didn't respond to my email.
Right.
And but that wasn't the main reason originally why I was going down there, but I've just been busy, and I need to find a place to live in New Hampshire, and I didn't want to spend the time going to Chicago and back. And the problem is that I realized the last time I went to Chicago on the bus that I was going to Drupal camp. And so I was able to charge up my laptop when I got there for the ride back. But I was not going to be going to any sort of camp this time or doing anything technical. So I didn't know where the hell I was going to charge up my laptop. And the bus company said that some of their buses have Wi-Fi and power connections, but they can't guarantee the one from Chicago to Madison will. So I was like, screw this. And I sold my ticket. I was going to go to the Chicago Fire Manchester United game, and I sold the ticket. Also, it was going to be like 90 degrees. And I was like, you know what? Do I want to stand outside for, you know, 3 hours getting in and out of the ballpark and, you know, during the game?
Right.
When it's 90 degrees. And I hurt my Achilles tendon last week. I biked 90 miles, and that is probably not that far to bike on roads. I've never done anything that far on roads. Mm-hmm. And actually, my only other bike ride anywhere close to that was on trail as well, and it was 72. But I don't know how you really mess up an Achilles on a bike. It doesn't seem like the type of thing. And it's only one of my ankles or feet. I can't really decide what I want to call it. Saying Achilles all the time sounds weird, but it's not really your ankle, and it's not really your foot, and it's not really your
hamstring?
Leg.
Hamstring?
Yeah, my tendon. But see, if you say your tendon, then that could be anywhere. So sometimes I say foot, and sometimes I say ankle. Hmm. I just, whatever.
Whatever indeed.
But anyway, the point is that, you know, in a big city, you're probably going to have to walk some. And I didn't really think I needed to walk on it. And there was just a lot of stuff that was just like, you know what? I really, you know, the signs are just pointing to the fact that I do not need to go to Chicago. so I didn't. But yeah. And also, oh, the other thing is that I was thinking I might be able to hang out with Dan as well.
Right.
But Dan had plans, so whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anybody knows where those top five are, if they could send it to me, that'd be awesome.
Please do, because we'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be searching for that for days.
Oh.
The other winners were the winners, let me just go down here and say what they were. I complained about the multiple ones, but
right.
Tunguska or Tunguska Electronic Music Society won in electro. Josh Woodward won in pop. Tunguska again won in instrumental. Amity and Fame experimental. Roger Subirana Mata won in world.
Wow.
Jazz Friends won in urban, and Amity and Fame won in rock. And so my other complaint about this is that I guess maybe the Tunguska Electronic Music Society, I guess that's like a society. So the society gets the $1,000 they get for winning in two. Or I assume they get $1,000, not just $500. But this Jazz Friends thing, I don't know. Well, it does say creative workshop. So maybe the money's just going to go to the workshop. But there's, you know, a bunch of different artists. So that so if you go to the Jazz Friends, you know, their Jimeno pages, there's artists like Liquid Frame, Alien. I don't know if that's short for Italian. I think these are, I don't know where they're from. But anyway, the Polo Pavan Quartet, JAC, the Flanger Sound, Roberto Deglio. I don't know, there's a bunch. You know, like each song is by a different artist. So I don't know how they're going to divide up that money, unless, of course, it just stays with this creativeworkshop.artist, who lists a Facebook page as their website. So I don't know what's going on with that. But I don't know. It's kind of lame. And I think maybe I'd feel better about it if they went in as, like, if they had gone in as the creative workshop rather than Jazz Friends. So I don't know what else this creative workshop does. You know, presumably they do other stuff besides these two jazz albums in Jimendo. And if that's all they do, then I guess that's fine. But
all right.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a net label. I just don't know. I haven't really been able to look into them.
I'm going to start implementing a new thing, too. Now I want you to say something positive about it.
About Creative Workshop?
No.
Well, they won the damn awards.
No,
so.
No. About the awards thing now. Now we've said all the stuff that's wrong with it.
Well, we talked about the other week how it was good that they were doing it at all and that they would improve and stuff. Didn't we talk about that with Click?
Possibly. We may have gotten off track. I could see that happening. No, I just wanted to make sure so it doesn't seem like we're sitting here like if people are just listening to this for the first time. Make sure that they know that we still support what they're doing here. We're just, just surprised.
I mean, a lot of the stuff I get is from Jimendo. I love Jimendo.
Okay, there we go. I just want to make sure that we don't sound like we're anti.
I discovered this weekend that they have HTML5 music player. Although you say like the embedded player, I don't know if that means like if you embed it on your website.
Right. Then that was the thing we were talking about. The embedded player on that's right. You had posted, just to give backstory on this for people. We had talked back when we were talking with Jason Siegel from FMA. I was talking about how great it is that all the, if you post songs or listen to the music on the site, it's JavaScript players, which I was like, that's really cool. And he lamented that if you want it, but the embeddable player had to be Flash, and they hadn't figured out a way to do that yet.
I've never seen non-Flash stuff on FMA, though. Where is this stuff?
When you go there, and there's the whole list of songs, and you go down the page, and there's the player button, and the song titles are all labeled on top of each other, that is JavaScript.
But, I mean, I wasn't able to play any of that stuff. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's because it's MP3?
Yes.
And Firefox won't play MP3?
No, you can play it in Firefox. I've successfully played many things on...
In Linux?
Yeah.
Without Flash?
Yeah.
Why does this not work for me?
I don't know, but it is JavaScript. I will tell you that much. But that was the thing, is the embeddable player, which that's why I was saying the embeddable player, like if you're on a band's page and it goes, you know, put this player on your site, that also is Flash. Putting it on other pages, unless you do a iframe of the player itself, you have to use Flash to make it an embeddable player.
That's what I was. Yeah. I was saying when you were talking about the Jamendo thing, I was like, "Well, just make an iframe."
Right, which I don't know. That's true because iframing is actually frowned upon, and it's actually kind of a workaround to get HTML5 stuff to work in other sites. Plus, there's no fallback then if people don't have an HTML5 compatible browser.
Those people need to get an HTML5.
Yeah, but I will say that even HTML5 itself is already fighting over which method you should use. So that in itself is becoming a problem, because in some browsers this will work and in some browsers this won't work. You already have your WebKit stuff that you have to put in along with your Mozilla stuff that you have to put in to do the exact same thing. I mean, the whole thing's a mess. I already hate the fact that they're doing that. And that, you know, that stuff isn't compatible, or there are different methods for doing it. So, but that's another thing.
You said
there's
different methods. Do you just mean the different codecs, or do you mean other, like, actual code?
Everything. Actual code, different codecs. Already they chose sides on, you know, Firefox will play AUG files automatically, whereas the Chrome browser plays, when they're talking about the video, Chrome plays MP3 ones automatically. You know, that sort of
crap. The reason Mozilla won't play MP3s is because they can't afford to pay the licensing fee.
Right. No, and I'm not debating that. I'm just saying already everybody's choosing sides on things, and that's the whole thing, is the reason we're going into HTML5 and CSS3 and all that stuff is because of the fact that they're following old methods that were put in place and they're trying to make them newer. Well, now the problem is everybody's trying to say, no, my way's the right way, and it's creating the whole thing all over again to the point where I have to code 5 different ways to do the same thing for 5 different browsers, you know, and that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not disagreeing with you that there are different things, but what I'm saying is that I don't think it's a choice as so much as they're being forced for monetary reasons to do that.
You're just talking about the MP3 codec. I'm not talking about that.
I know. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Right. But what I was talking about originally was if you iframe in an HTML5
right,
player,
right,
it might not work on all browsers because it's not compatible with the way that it was coded.
Okay. So I'm looking at this main page on FMA, and it says freemusicarchive.org/swf/playlistplayer.swf. Now, SWF is a Flash file, is it not?
Yes. It stands for Shockwave File.
Yeah, it says embed type application /X Shockwave Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's Flash.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the main Free Music Archive page in the recently added highlights. You're probably not looking at it because you're concerned.
No, I just pulled it up. Let's see. I feel like we should have tension music playing. No, it is not. It is in a span tag, and it is a link, and it is using JavaScript.
I'm confused. All right, so I'm searching this thing for live spanning of, I mean, searching of spanning.
I got to say, you remind me a lot of the dude that I work with, in the sense that he hates it when I prove him wrong on things, to the point where he will keep finding.
No, I don't care if I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong, because I would like not to have to install Flash, but it's never worked for me.
Yeah, no, and it's not Flash, to the point that I will say, actually, I didn't even need to look at the source code, because when you right-click on it, a drop-down menu comes down, and you can inspect the element, which means right then and there that it's not a Flash player. Whereas if you right-click on it, it will say the version of Flash that it is using, if you click on a Flash player.
Where is this Flash thing?
If you scroll further down the page, you'll see two players next to each other. That's the embeddable player. That is a Flash player on the left-hand side. And if you right-click on that, you will right-click on it, and it will say about Adobe Flash player.
So then, now, why did this not work? That's my last question.
Because.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I have no idea. I have no clue why that wouldn't work for you, but that is not a Flash player that's on there. The one, the big round arrow thing. Yeah, that's not JavaScript. Well, here's a question I wanted to ask too. So the Spotify came to the US. Have you gotten an invite yet, first of all?
No.
Okay. Because I was going to ask if you had tried to use it yet. And I have had nothing but difficulty with it, but I don't blame Spotify for this. I got the invite, which, you know, we didn't have a show last week because I was on vacation. And that's when I got my invite. I was at this beautiful place. It was a golf resort. We were in a penthouse that had, like, large screen TVs on every wall. I swear to God, in the entire place, you know, there was a bar. It was nicer than my house. And it was on the third floor of this place. Anyway, it was awesome. We got there and it was like, wow, this is going to be a great weekend. Looked at my phone to see if I had any messages or check my email from the long drive. Absolutely no phone connection whatsoever. I was like, God damn it. So I was like, oh, well, they said they have Wi-Fi. Yeah, they said they have Wi-Fi. They do. And apparently one person can use it at a time or something, because it was awful. It was like spotty at best. Like, I'd get in and be like, oh, cool. And like, it would start downloading all this stuff. Like, oh, you have new messages and this and that. And it wants to update my system. You know, just the normal stuff that you take for granted. And all of a sudden, you know, it would get cut off. So I got my Spotify invite, and then later on I was like, oh, cool. And then I realized, first of all, what I don't like is that it's not browser-based. I hate the fact that it's a program. I did not know that. I thought it was browser-based. So I had to download the program. I downloaded it and then installed it, and then couldn't use it because there was no internet connection. So I was like, ah, crap. All right, I'll try it when I get home. So came home, and then I was like, oh, it says that you can try, you can install it on Wine on Linux system. So I'm like, okay, I'll give that a try. But then I saw that they also have a beta release, and this is actually going to make a nice little wrap up here, or not wrap up, but tie in here. They had a repository where they're like, oh, try our beta Linux version that we're creating. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. So I put the repository in, and did the authorization key that you get with it, and then updated, and then went to download it, and it said that it basically can't find this server that I'm looking for, like this repository. It's like, I don't know, it's either corrupt or, you know, I get an error message that says it's corrupt or malformed. So I went and looked back, and it's not even, you know, it's basically like spotify.repository.com/stable or something like that, something simple like that. So it's not like I copy and pasted something weird. And sure enough, yeah, no, it wouldn't download it. And then when I finally got some of it downloaded, it was a broken package, or if it connected for 2 seconds. And this is at home on my working internet connection. So that didn't work. And what I found out is the reason that I keep getting skipping on here is because I still have the repository installed, and it keeps trying to update the repository. So every couple of seconds, my entire repository list refreshes because it's trying to fix this problem. So that's why I keep getting little stutters that I'm getting here. But then I went to install the Wine version on my system, and Wine doesn't like it. I don't feel like going in, and it says, you know, you can check for other problems and there are workarounds, but it's like, if it takes more than that, I'm not going to do it. So I have it on my Windows laptop, and I haven't tried it yet, but my friends swear by it. They all seem to like it, so I'll see. So I have no opinion on it yet, and I was hoping you had tried it to see what your opinion was. So, you know, and like I said, it's not necessarily their fault. It's just circumstances on my end. So
do they allow for Creative Commons only stations?
I don't know, but I will say that we are on there. My band is on there.
Nice.
And the funny thing is it's not one of our iTunes albums. It's one of the first albums when we just promoted it ourselves and put it out for free. That's the one that's on Spotify, our most recent one that we put out like a year or so ago. So that was kind of cool. So I have no idea how that got on there. I don't know if I'm supposed... This is the other thing where I always talk about like, oh, you got to pay ASCAP and all that kind of crap. How did this get on there and am I getting any money for it? You know, how do I get paid? My stuff gets played on iTunes. I don't see that. You know, it was put up there through CD Baby. I don't get checks from that. Where is this money that people are paying in coming from? That's always my argument. Is it's like, how do they know? How do they know that this stuff is happening, and how does my stuff keep popping up in these places? So always been my argument for when they go, well, you won't get paid if you don't do ASCAP. You know, how am I getting paid to begin with? Or how do I get paid then?
You know. So wait, I'm confused. So, I mean, the argument that you're not going to get paid if you're not an ASCAP is valid if you're not an ASCAP.
Right.
You're an ASCAP?
Some of our stuff had been, like, you have to pay a fee to get onto iTunes, if I remember correctly. And when the two albums before this one, we had to pay a fee we went through TuneCore, which is the alternative, and you're supposed to be getting monetization from that, or whatever CD Baby used. No, it was just CD Baby. That's right. Their competitor. Sorry. And, you know, I haven't seen any of that. And, I mean, stuff's been downloaded. I know that from iTunes. So who knows?
So which album are you talking about?
For which one? The one that's in Spotify?
Yeah.
The Bizarre album is in Spotify.
Okay. That's
the most recent one, yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were talking about that or the EP that was released.
That was pseudo-released. The actual physical release is coming out in the next couple of weeks. That was a pre-release for the fans.
Oh.
That wasn't really available to the public. So
So which one are you saying, because you were like the ones back in the day on that we paid for, which one's that?
All the rest of them.
Okay, so...
Yeah, because we sent them out to CD Baby, and then this was when we were pretty green on it, too. We didn't understand what we were doing. We're like, oh, it goes in iTunes? Great. So we did that, and it was like... And then we didn't think about the fact, like, wait, where are we getting paid? So maybe I should check with them. See, I'm not the one who set it up, so that's why I'm kind of sketchy on the whole deal. Like, how did this happen? Where's this money going? Maybe somebody in our band is getting paid, and I have no idea. That could very possibly be. They could be getting checks and going, oh, people keep sending me these checks. I don't know what it's for, but it's awesome. Does my grandma think it's my birthday? You know, they...
Well, her, you know, whoever's grandma is probably not named CDW. I mean, God, CD Baby. Or
CDW?
iTunes or the Apple Corporation or whatever.
But that's the thing, is it's like, who does it come from? And I wish that's the reason why I'm very naive about this, because...
But it probably doesn't come from, like...
I'm not getting it.
Myrtle B or, like...
Right.
You know, I don't know. That Gladys.
I get what you're going for there. That's funny. So anyway, yeah, so if I sound like I'm completely off on that, somebody please correct me, because I'm actually very confused. And to tell you the truth, I haven't thought much about it. I haven't really, really worried about it until I saw that we were on Spotify, and I'm like, how the hell did we get on there, and how is it that album? Like, it's none of the other ones, just that one. So that's why my completely uneducated
rant. Well, it's on Creative Commons, Tom.
Maybe that's... Well, so are the other ones. I mean, the other ones are as well, but... You know, that's my ignorance in this rant that I just had, is that I don't know why it's there, and I'm just trying to contemplate, and I'm like, I don't recall receiving money for any of this.
This is changing the subject back to shitty internet, but okay. That was a real problem in South Africa, because the power would keep going out, mostly. We stayed at this really nice hotel out in the mountains, and power went out there. I mean, I guess... Even a nice hotel doesn't control the power lines. I mean, I guess they could have had a generator or something. But I say hotel, but most of the stuff in South Africa is guest houses, and it's not really worth getting into why that is, but that is the way it is. So there's not a lot of big giant hotels. I mean, in Johannesburg there are and stuff, but we stayed in a guest house in Johannesburg too. And that place was a shithole, but that's another story. But anyway, the real thing that I wanted to mention is that I stayed in the River North Hotel in Chicago, which is, according to National Geographic, quote, best hotel in Chicago. Their internet was absolute shit. There's no way on earth that this is the best hotel in Chicago. I don't know, you know, where, you know, what National Geographic did, you know, what hotels they went to or anything, but this is not the best hotel in Chicago, unless that they've fixed something since I was there. It was almost 3 years ago when I was there. It was in September. It was in August or September of 2008, but the internet was just, it was unusable. I mean, it was like literally unusable. I had to get things that I needed. I don't remember what all those things were, but I guess to just check like Google Maps and stuff. This was before I had a data plan on my phone, but I had to go down to like their computer in the lobby and use that, which, I mean, yeah, they have a computer in the lobby, but I mean, tons of places have computers in the lobbies for people to use. So I don't know. I went to the Best Western site because I was like, what is the name of that hotel that we stayed at? Because I wanted to complain about them. And then just I saw on their site, you know, they have like in Best Hotel in Chicago on their like page there. And it says the only Chicago downtown hotel. Oh, never mind. That's I thought first, I guess it's just because I had it on my mind and I thought it said with free Wi-Fi, but it says with free parking. And parking and Wi-Fi don't look anything alike. They both use like, you know, Roman letters. But aside from that, do they even share any letters? I don't think they do. They share an I. There's an I in both parking and Wi-Fi. Anyway,
maybe just that, you wanted to see that there so badly.
I did. That would, yeah. I think I would have thrown the laptop across the room if I had reread it and it still said that. No, probably not. But anyway, back to.
I had just one last thing that I wanted to talk about. And that was that you posted something today, and I wanted to double check and see if it's what I was thinking about. But was there a decision on the peer-to-peer case that was going on? I thought I saw you had posted something about the peer-to-peer. What is it? They're actually making it so. Oh, great! Now my mind is blanking.
Today, I don't think.
It was recently. But you posted something in one of the music, or maybe it was in our Google group.
No, it would have been on Digo, probably.
Maybe it was. I think you're right. But you did share something with me that there was.
Yeah, it was on Digo, the EFF page, Judge Slash's P2P Award Again in Capital versus Thomas. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, that is the one.
Yeah, so they changed it from 1.5 million to 54,000.
So it was just a settlement announcement, because I know that there's some sort.
No, it's not a settlement announcement at all.
What? Or what is it then?
What?
What is it then?
So this is a case that went to a jury trial, and the jury gave the defendant $1.5 million. But the judge says, quote, an award of $1.5 million for stealing and distributing 24 songs for personal use is appalling. Such an award is so severe and oppressive as to be wholly disproportionate to the offense and obviously unreasonable. In this particular case involving a first-time willful consumer infringer of limited means who committed illegal song file sharing for his or her own personal use, for her own personal use, an award of $2,250 per song for a total award of $50,000 is the maximum award consistent with due process.
So they made it so that there's a cap to what you can actually charge somebody.
No, I mean, this is just a random.
I think they should do that, though.
I mean,
you're going to bust somebody, it shouldn't be like, okay, well, we're going to charge you millions of dollars for doing it. And it's like, where did you come up with this number? You know?
I don't know what he says.
They should just make them buy the CD. There. That's it. You know?
They would need to buy the CD for everybody that downloaded it from them.
I suppose it's because of the peer-to-peer thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that you can't, you don't know about that.
But even the person who is on the peer-to-peer, they don't know how many people they've shared it with, you know?
No. So that's why they just have some, you know, nearly worst-case scenario sort of thing. I mean, even $54,000 that's a lot per song.
Right. But there should be a limit, you know? But...
Yeah.
And the other thing too is like, isn't this one of the cases that's been going, it's like, isn't it actually from the Napster days or something like that? Like one that's been pending forever? And if that's true, if it's the one that I'm thinking of, because it's like some lady that lives in a, you know, she lives in a home trailer or something like that out in
Jamie Thomas Radset.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what I'm thinking of. But yeah, that's the whole thing is, like, if it's the one I'm thinking of, she downloaded, like, the other thing, too, is, like, the music, the people are doing it, the music isn't even relevant anymore. I think one of them was even Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy, you know? It's like, I would just be embarrassed going to court when they had to explain that to everybody, like, going, okay, and you're on trial for downloading Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy, you know?
Okay, so these are I'm not going to read the 24 songs, but here's the artists. Aerosmith, Bryan Adams, Def Leppard, Destiny's Child, Gloria Estefan, Goo Goo Dolls, Green Day, Guns N' Roses, Janet Jackson, Journey, Linkin Park, No Doubt, Reba McEntire, Richard Marx, Sarah McLachlan, Sheryl Crow, and Vanessa Williams.
See, now that leads me to believe it might be the one that I'm thinking of, or at least around that time period, because a lot of that music was either before or during that time period. When Napster was around.
The latest one was...
Like, Destiny's Child is probably borderline around that time, but I mean, it would have been Beyonce, not Destiny's Child, if it was newer.
This one was... the last one was No Doubt, Hella Good, 2001. That's the last date.
When was Napster?
On this particular trial. But, yeah. So the first civil jury trial, which was in the U.S. District Court of Minnesota, was... in October 2007. And then there was a second civil jury trial in 2009, also in Minnesota. And then there was something in January 2010. I don't know where that was. A remittor, something. And then there was a third civil jury trial in U.S. District Court, Minnesota, in 2010. Actually, wait, hold on. Maybe this is the wrong one. Yeah, this is wrong. Oh, this is just one that's Thomas Reset. And she get that makes sense. Doesn't sound
what
right. The dates don't sound right. Versus the first jury period. I mean, some of the stuff sounds right. 22,000. So that's. There, yeah, 20. So I think maybe the article on EFF doesn't list. I think it just doesn't list everything. I just think it doesn't mention this November 2010 thing. Oh, okay, never mind. I looked at the per song, and not the total. So yeah, so this makes sense. So statutory damages of $1.5 million, which is what I said before. The third civil jury trial, this makes it sound like, oh, okay.
I feel like you're having a conversation with somebody other than me right now.
I'm having a conversation with Wikipedia. I don't know. You need to just put this in here. The dates seem odd. I guess that this is where.
How dare Wikipedia not have the information correct?
Well, no, it's right. It just... See, I think the dates
I'm
going to
go in there and just put in, like, 1958.
What?
I'm going to go into Wikipedia right now and put in 1958 somewhere in there as one of the trial dates.
Well,
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think the award the award has been changed, but the date has not been updated. Hmm. So, like, I think that it started in January 2010. And that's the date that's still listed there. And
so
then the statutory damages
yet?
Are what's new. But this may be like a standard way of doing things is listing the, you know, the date when it started. That may be standard. I don't know. But the article on EFF was released on July 22nd. So, okay.
Well, yeah. So I just wanted to ask about that because I saw that some decision had been made in a peer-to-peer thing, and I wanted to know what it was about. So I thought I'd ask about it.
Down at the bottom of I'll move it up on the show notes to the thing where the stuff that we've actually talked about.
All right.
We'll probably not talk about these Creative Commons articles that I saw, but I do want to talk a little bit about some of the music shows, a couple mentions.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention, I don't think we did on the July 4th show, or actually released July 2nd. I put in a quote from the Descendants, and the Descendants are one of the few bands that we can both claim to like.
Yes. Not so much the newest version though. I like the old Descendants.
I didn't know that they had replaced people.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not uncommon. They replace people all the time. Like, pretty much the only person they didn't replace was Bill, the drummer.
Oh.
He's like the only original member.
Huh.
And he's
clearly
a tool.
I don't follow them too closely.
I met him once and he was a real jerk to me. So that's why, I don't know. I still like the band. I still liked them, but he was a jerk.
Huh. I actually have a poster in my office of their American album. American, I guess, is how it's
right. And that was with Dave. Oh, who was the singer on that one? Dave something or other. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dave Smalley.
That came out March 23rd, 2004. And I know that because it's on the poster that I'm looking at right now.
Right.
So that's been a little while. But that album had some awesome stuff on it.
Yeah.
It had some not as awesome stuff, but.
I even listened to them when they broke off, and for some reason when Milo left the band and they became the band All. I listened to them for a little while, too.
Yeah, some of the All stuff is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Milo went to college, so that's
yes.
why.
And he went to college here.
I did not know that.
Yes, he went to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Huh.
That was why when they got back together, their first reunion show was in front of the union on the place where that fountain is or whatever. In front of the library.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Huh.
But I didn't live in Madison at the time. So.
Well, I did. I saw it. I was there.
Cool.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay.
And then we got a retweet from Jason when you played Excess by Lame Drivers. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I hadn't listened to their stuff before until he, you know, mentioned that.
I did not know that was him either until we talked to him, but I had listened to that band before. But that particular song that I posted, I had not seen anywhere. He sent that to us in our SoundCloud Dropbox.
Right.
And, you know, like we both realized, because we were getting notifications for things in Dropbox, and then all of a sudden nothing. So I was like, oh, nobody's uploading anything. And then one day you went and looked at it and sent me a message and was like, dude, there's like tons of music in our Dropbox.
Yeah. And I had heard the Fit and the Conniptions on Rat Hole Radio and some other shows. But they put the stuff in our Dropbox 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So we could have played them. We might have been able to beat people to it. But
right.
We didn't because we're lame and don't check our SoundCloud.
I know.
We'll get around to playing everything on there.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but
just because we're not on top of it doesn't mean we're not going to keep our word about playing stuff that's in there.
Right. And it's always good to have stuff, you know, to listen to that you know is there instead of looking for things. It's nice to, you know, have a buffer.
And it's cool, too, to see some of the bands that have done it. Like, Raster left us one. Of course, we interviewed him.
Yep.
I've played Lewis Ling and the Bombs before. And I think Lewis Ling and the Bombs is actually, there's a few bands that release under Creative Commons that I knew before we were doing, well, before I knew that they were Creative Commons.
Before, like, we actually started actively seeking out Creative Commons music.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did that before we had the show, or I was at least aware of, like, what
yeah,
was
yeah, but your playlist was a lot different back then when we first started the show. Remember, we did that whole episode where you compared your playlist now as to what your playlist was back then?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But just on, like, listening to Last FM, I had seen Lewis Ling and the Bombs several times, and I had also seen The Arrogant Sons of Bitches, and it was well into the show before I realized that they were releasing under Creative Commons, because their stuff isn't on Jamendo or a Free Music Archive. I should put some of their stuff on the Free Music Archive.
You should.
I've been too busy to do that. I mean, I put up the Cloud Kicker album, and it's just three tracks, and then
right.
I put something else on there, but I need to.
But you're still way more active on there than me, so I'll give you credit for that. Like, I keep wanting to go in there.
Like three.
I haven't done anything.
I did post the two different. Oh, I posted Isaac Graham.
But you've done a couple of blog posts too.
I've actually posted, like, as a curator, but I have gotten two blog posts on the front page.
Right.
So that's probably why you think that I'm active, but I haven't uploaded.
More so than me. Like, I keep going, like, every time I see him, like, oh, damn it, that's right, I was going to go in there and take a look, and then I get distracted with other things that I'm working on, and I just got to organize my time better.
But once I figure out, tomorrow night, I'm going to make a decision about where I'm going to live, so I'll stop trolling Craigslist. Not really trolling, more of a lurking Craigslist. So did you have anything else to say about that show? I thought it was funny because the name of the song is Excess. And then he said that it was, like, on the show that includes some of the most offensive song titles, ever. Although some of them, a couple of them don't have that offensive of song titles. There's one that says rock for rock, not for cock. And that could be offensive. But they all featured very offensive words, either in the artist name.
I just hope people read your description before they just looked at the list of songs you put. You know, like,
yeah, I was thinking
people
that.
Don't really
I was like,
read
are people
on the internet.
Going to come to this as their first show and then be like, "Oh God."
Well, but if you read the expression, you get what you're going for there. But most people see, that's the thing that I've learned, especially working in the web and all that kind of stuff, is that people don't generally read when they're on the internet. And if they read, they peruse. Just like that commercial with the girl that tries to get her parents on Facebook and is all embarrassed by them. And she's like, I read an article. Well, I read part of an article. You know, and that's the way people read. So that's why I was wondering when we put that up. I'm like, God, I should have, like, bolded it or put it in yellow. But that might not have worked. I don't know.
The thing is that they should have known pretty quickly. Because I think, like, 20 seconds into the show, it's like dun 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 dun.
That was a good song, though. I will give you that.
You cunt! And that's like, it's like right there at the very beginning. And so if they didn't turn it off then, you know, they would probably stayed for the ride, I would guess. I don't know. They might have. Yeah.
It's one of those ones, like, I was half thinking, like, should I do like he does, like I do when he posts a 30-minute song and then go, okay, my stuff's going to go first then?
I was wondering that, too, if you were going to do that, but
I didn't. I respected the fact that I think it was your turn to have your music up front. And
dude, I do not give a shit about that.
No, I know. And now that I look back, it wasn't your turn to have music up front if I was doing it every other.
You put my stuff first a lot, just because I put it in the show notes.
And also when I'm posting it, I can never remember. I can never remember.
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, well. But yeah.
So anyway, I just thought it was funny that in the part that wasn't offensive, in the excess part, if you will,
yes,
he had a song called Excess. So I don't know. I thought that was funny. And then there were the two shows that we haven't discussed at all. Actually, I don't know if we discussed that one, but I had the track from Greg Gibbs on the Women's World Cup and Copa America show. And I haven't heard from Greg in forever. Have you heard from him?
No.
Because we were all talking to him about getting him on the show. He's from Chicago.
Right. There was an email that he sent last time, and he keeps saying, yes, I would like to do this, but he never. I don't think he's confirmed anything yet.
No, he hasn't.
Unless, I got a message recently, and usually, because you're usually the one that does the scheduling, so sometimes I'll read it and I'll be like, oh, Doug's probably taking care of this. I'm wondering if he may have just sent me an email and not you one, because I know I got one like a week ago.
Well, August sent me an email,
right?
Because I was like, August is his manager, or part of the management group, and I told him I was going to be in Chicago, which turned out to be false.
Oh, that's the email that I saw. Okay.
Yeah. And so I've gotten that, and I've gotten other emails from August, but I haven't gotten any from Greg.
Yeah, because we were going to have him on soon, but it hasn't been confirmed, correct?
Yeah, I don't remember what date that we
hit. I want to say it was in August.
Yeah.
But, so I'll check my emails and, let you know if I find anything that, you weren't on. But I don't think I...
No, it was going to be July 10th, and then I went ahead and booked that. So this has been, because I emailed him on the 25th and then of June, and then I hadn't heard from him. So I just went ahead and booked the 10th and with Click, and was like, we can find another date later. But I never heard back from him about that either, so I don't know what's going on.
Hmm.
But anyway, played one of his shows, one of his songs on the show. It was pretty good. Some other stuff on that one, obviously, because it wasn't a 30-minute track.
Right.
This week, though, was a 30-minute track.
Yes.
So what'd you think?
Oh, I've actually listened to that particular... They've got that band either has a couple of other songs in there, or it's on a compilation that uses the same album cover, because I've listened to a few of the things that had that same album cover, and I don't know if it was the same band or not. So, I like
that. Oh, Phoning It In is a radio show.
Ah, that's why then.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were using the show logo. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I've listened to that show before. And, I was actually very surprised that there was a 30-minute track as far as a jazz song. It's very unexpected, at least to me. I mean, I suppose so. I mean, jazz songs are normally long, but...
But that's a little...
Exuberant, if you will.
Yeah, so they've got a fair... So I typed in Phoning It in the Free Music Archive, and there's...
Mocking me for going on vacation.
There's 405 tracks listed as Phoning It In.
Hmm.
That's the name of the radio show,
right?
If we can say that. And they all have the the full show thing. So I'll probably be playing some more of these because it makes my life easier.
Hmm.
There's one of them that's punk, so that one will be a good one to play.
Oh, and are they all that long, or is it?
That one's No Derivatives. No, they're not all quite that long.
Okay.
This one's 23:32, the punk one. This other one that is folk lo-fi is 24:45.
I like how not that long means 2 minutes shorter.
Well, I mean, that's shorter. But I mean, if I played six metal tracks that were all 6 minutes long, that's 36 minutes. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's substantially shorter than that. And it's not like it's one track. You know? It's
right.
Multiple tracks it's multiple songs just on one track.
Right.
So, people probably figured that out because you left the talking in, which was fine. It was a nice little outro.
I'm not going to edit it.
To the show. Huh?
I'm not going to edit it.
Well, you can. It's Creative Commons.
I know,
Tom.
I can, but I'm not going to. Edit it yourself.
Yeah, no, I was cool with it because then people knew what the hell it was. For all the people that don't go to the site and look at the show notes, then they actually knew what it was. And we didn't have to do anything to tell them. They already did it for us. That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah.
So, I think I might do some more Phoning It In stuff. So I'll try to pick stuff that doesn't suck. And that way people won't mind listening to the same thing for 25 minutes.
Right.
But if it sucks bad enough to be funny, I might play that anyway.
Yeah.
Because I do that sometimes. But it's just like horribly unlistenable, and just to see who likes it. Like that one track that I played, like, I think it was like,
oh, right,
Satan's Palace.
The one where I was like, why didn't they just break it up into different songs, first of all? That one?
No, that was the Space Crackers one. I loved that.
Oh, okay.
That one's good. No, the Satan's Palace one that was all like wind. It was like,
oh, okay.
Remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And then Raster was like, man, I loved that. So right. You never know. Like,
yeah, but well, I mean, yeah, his stuff is kind of like that too. Oh, that was the comment I was going to make before when we put Raster stuff up there. This comment I wanted to make on that last show, or the show where I put up the stuff that was in our SoundCloud Dropbox, was I feel bad because some of that stuff seemed like it was around that time period, like it was sensitive to that, because that track that he uploaded, I think that was also around the same time that he was doing that, what's that song a day thing in February? That I forget what it's called. Shit.
There's two of them. There's the RPM.
RPM. And
there's another one.
He does the RPM one though, and he actually there was like even a message with it saying like, hey, are you guys going to be talking about the R-? And we totally didn't, and I didn't see that post, and we could have like done a whole thing. I feel bad about that. But
we could have had him on the show again. But
I know, and it could have been relevant, but we didn't check our SoundCloud. So we had no idea that was.
We're talking about it now.
We are, so. But it was a total. Yeah, some of that stuff.
You should
was
just make like a giant, like an animated GIF. Like go back and change the picture for that show, and just like flash like we're sorry or something.
Right.
I don't know, but I do like the, not that show. I have to go back and look at that show. I probably like the one from that one too, but the phone that you had for the phoning it in show.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I did. I enjoyed that picture. That was a good one.
Good.
And the hope, I mean, I told you to play that.
Yeah. You put the hope one up there. So did they win or did they not win?
They made it to the final and then lost in penalty kicks. It was,
I don't even know why I asked. Cause you know, I don't care. I was just being polite.
Well, be patriotic, Tom.
That's true. That's true. But it's about the sports ball.
So. Yeah. You actually didn't have a picture for the show that you could have had like a censored logo or something, or maybe you were just censoring it altogether. No picture.
Well, I don't censored. Know why I didn't have one there.
Not even bothering to put up a censor.
I'm just lazy, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's true. I could have done something like that.
You could put the phoning it in picture on that one as well, but
true.
That would be more work and would kind of miss the point of phoning it in.
Right.
I don't know. I also picked, just spoiler alert, some vacation tracks, I think for this upcoming week. I'm pretty sure, because it was supposed to come out with MC Lynx, and he's got a track called Summertime. I think it's like Summertime Wave. Now, it's not Dot Wave, but it's Summertime Wave, like WAV, and I think it's a play on the wave file and also like going to the beach and there being waves. I don't know. We can ask about him if we actually ever get him on the show.
Yes, he was supposed to be scheduled for today. But
yeah, and so they were going to come out together next week, that show and this. But anyway, that was originally going to be the Tom is on Vacation show, but then the World Cup was happening, and I was like, well, if I'm going to do this show, the World Cup only comes around every 4 years, so I should probably do that now.
Right.
And it will still be summer in a couple weeks. And it has been
It's yeah, it's been, I mean, damn summer.
I mean, the last two summers, you know, the only other two summers I've been in Wisconsin, I've been like, this is lame. This is like spring.
Yeah.
But
no, but we're summering the hell out of this thing. Yeah.
What?
We're summering the hell out of this thing this year.
Yeah, yeah. And for people that don't know, I grew up in Alabama, which is quite a bit further south than Wisconsin. And also spent some time in North Carolina, which is also quite a bit further south in Wisconsin.
I couldn't have told that from your speaking voice.
Yeah. I
have a Wisconsin accent for crying out loud, so I can't make fun.
If people are, I mean, Europeans are usually pretty informed about the U.S., just like Americans are reasonably informed about Europe, generally speaking. people that are informed at all are informed about Europe. You know, they're less informed about like Africa or Asia, or even South America. Because
are you talking soccer still?
No, I'm just saying that my point is that international listeners may not know where Alabama is.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, I was all confused. I was like, wait a minute, did I have a short stroke?
No, most of our listeners, I think, are European. I mean, the UK and the Netherlands are up there as far as the top ones. But we do have a lot of hits from like South Korea. I'd have to look at the notes, but the people are from all over.
Yeah,
they might just not know where Alabama was or Wisconsin. I mean, I assume people kind of know where, like, generally speaking, New York, California, and Texas are, because they're giant.
I told you the time that I went to Oregon, where the girl asked me if I was from Kentucky because of my accent. And I was like, wow, you have no clue what a Southern accent is. Thank you.
Well, but like, if you were from Northern Kentucky, they don't really have Southern accents. I mean, Louisville's Midwest. Yeah. So I can see that. But
all right, we're on that. We're at that point where we're talking about nothing.
It's where we're being cut off by the bartender.
Like, I'm getting the cutoff sign.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I just, cool. Have you been doing air hashtags?
All the time. You couldn't see them because it's not visual. But if we had the video going, when I would say stuff, I would just be air hashtagging it.
Sometime you and I should try the Google Plus Hangout thing and see if that's something that might be fun to try and record a podcast using.
The Google Hangout?
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah. I don't know. I heard Google Plus.
Yeah. We should try that though, because I haven't tried the Google Plus Hangout thing yet, or the Google Hangout thing yet, and I'm interested to try, but I don't want to do anything where I actually have to sit there and, like, if it's dumb, I want to be able to go, yeah, this is dumb, and then we'll turn it off. I don't want to be in one where everybody's actually doing the Hangout and I have to sit there and pretend or I'm an ass. So so if it's me and you, I know that we can go, okay, this is stupid, and we'll stop, and then we'll do something normal. So we'll see. So I think we should try that sometime, though, because if it's fun, it might be something kind of cool, because you can do up to 10 actual video chats on there, like with the video, whereas like on Skype, if you have more than two people, you can't do video anymore.
Oh.
So that's why you and I should test it out first, see what it's like, and then maybe we can implement that. Because I think, and the reason I'm thinking of this is because you had left a message with me about the interview the show we're going to do with Amsterdamic, where they don't have Google Talk or Google Voice or whatever the speaking version of the Google Chat is out in Amsterdam, but maybe they might have this if they have Google Plus out there. Who knows?
Yeah, don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think it's Amsterdam Mac, or because Amsterdam, there's two M's, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't, after I said it, I was like, you know, I've never had to actually pronounce that before, so I felt weird saying it. Amsterdam Mac? What did I say? Amsterdamic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we can ask
him that. We'll have to ask him that when he comes on.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's, I'm going to call it, and that is, thank you for joining us at, wow, I can't even put this together. Thank you for joining us on another Music Manumit podcast.
You really do need to be cut off.
I know, at musicmanumit.com. Thank you very much.